Football. It's the football, 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 and sometimes other sport show. Here's your host, AJ Nicoletti.
What up? FFFSSS.com. At FFFSSS, Twitter stream. Twitch.tv/AJNick3. What's good? Conference tournament week is here. March Madness just around the corner. So pumped for college basketball. You know I've been locked in really since the NFL ended. And as the NFL regular season ended, you know, there's nothing really to watch. There's, besides NFL playoffs, it's college basketball for me. So, besides soccer, obviously. So, on the program this Tuesday of Conference Championship Week, let's talk about NCAA tournament locks and bubble teams. So, we'll go through the big conferences one by one, tell you who's already in, who has some work to do in their respective conference tournaments. Then we'll look at the brackets ahead of the big six conference tournaments, as well as look back at some of the weekend's games in college basketball on the hardwood. Then we have a weekend soccer recap where Arsenal have now gone top of the Prem on goal difference after the Liverpool 1-1 draw with Man City at Anfield on Sunday. We'll have plenty to talk about when we get to that match. We got Champions League second legs, round of 16 second legs to look forward to on Tuesday and Wednesday. We got NFL offseason headlines. So with free agency open up, I got a lot of the things tallied up that we haven't talked about. So I have that at the end of the program. Then we have golf as well with Scottie Scheffler running away at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So NCAA tournament locks and bubble teams, college basketball conference tournaments, weekend soccer recap, Champions League round of 16 seconds legs, NFL offseason, and some PGA Tour golf at the end of the program. So a big show on this Tuesday edition of the pod. So we kick it off with the NCAA tournament locks and bubble teams. In the field of 68, there's 32 automatic qualifiers, conference tournament winners, and 36 at-large bids. Auto bids so far, Stenson coming out of the A Sum, Longwood in the Big South, the Missouri Valley was won by Drake, Ohio Valley won by Morehead State, Southern is Samford coming out of that league, and then James Madison wins the Fun Belt. James Madison's had a hell of a athletic campaign for their schools this year. Good for them. Good for them. All right, so we start with the big league for me, the best league, the Big 12. And Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, BYU, Texas Tech, all locks. I've moved TCU and Texas into my locks for this league as well. I see, you know, in preparing for this segment and looking at Lenardi and DeCourcy and all these other guys, Jerry Palm, I think, does it for CBS, if I'm not mistaken. So looking at all these guys and comparing and contrasting who has who and who has what where, right? It's pretty consensus that the Big 12 is probably going to get in 8 or 9 teams. And the 8, I think, is pretty simple. And then you have Oklahoma, who I think could use a win. And you have K-State, who I think would need a little bit of a run in that Big 12 tournament. So Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, BYU, Texas, TCU, or Texas Tech, TCU, and Texas I have as locks. And then Oklahoma, I think, could use a win. Kansas State needs a run. Oklahoma plays TCU, and Kansas State plays Texas in the second round of the Big 12 tournament. So that's the news in Kansas City. How about we go to the SEC? Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Florida are locks for the NCAA tournament. You feel like Mississippi State's had a good year, and they're a good team, but in some spots they just haven't come up big enough. So I think they could use a win. And I put A&M in the needs a run category because I think they do need to win the SEC tournament if they want to get into the field. At least, if not, go to the final and give somebody a game. But I just don't see them getting in. Whereas Mississippi State wins a game, wins two games, I think you have to put them into the field of 68. Tennessee is fighting for a one. Bama in the field. Auburn in the field despite the quad one, the lack of quad one wins and the poor record in the quad one field. South Carolina has been good. They've had some big wins. They deserve to be in the field. Kentucky, we know, can just score. If they can play some defense, they can win it all. And Florida's had a nice year as well. And their team that can score doesn't play a ton of defense either. So that's the story in the SEC. How about the Big Ten? And this is a league that you're usually looking at. Is the Big Ten going to get 9 or 10 teams in this tournament? And you're really dealing with like 6 to 7 locks per year. And then the few bubble teams. This year, it's much different than the Big Ten. The only locks you really have are Purdue, Wisconsin, and Illinois. And Wisconsin's been in a free fall. So if they had ever started that free fall a little earlier in the season, didn't have such a great out-of-conference, like they would be on the bubble the way they played. But Purdue, one seed for me. Illinois has been really good offensively. Defensively, I'm worried about them, especially in that second half of the Big Ten season. They haven't had the best an efficient defense on that side of the floor. Wisconsin, I said, is in a free fall. So those three, regardless, are locks. Now, I have Northwestern, Michigan State, and Nebraska, and could use a win to bolster their case. I think those teams are in. I just don't want to be on the wrong side of calling a team a lock and having them not be in the field. So though I think Nebraska, Michigan State, Northwestern, all three of those teams should be in the field, because I don't think you can only take, what, 5 teams from the Big Ten? That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy. Everybody talks about the Big Ten, right? So I think you have to take at least those 6. And then in the needs a run category in this conference, Iowa and Ohio State are playing each other in a second round matchup. And Ohio State, since making the coaching change and getting rid of Holtman and bringing in the interim here, he has been good. And they've been winning a lot of games for him. So Iowa certainly needs that win to get off the bubble and into the field. And Ohio State probably needs a couple wins and possibly to get to the final to get in. But those are two teams that are facing off against each other and could get themselves a win and could get some momentum and try to ride that into a final on Sunday before they reveal the bracket on Selection Sunday there. So that's the story in the Big Ten. How about the Big East in the Garden? The locks, UConn, Marquette, Creighton. UConn, obviously a one seed. Marquette and Creighton fighting for their seeding as well. And I think I've said it the last couple weeks now, if we've seen this bubble picture start to form, you don't see the Big East getting 6 teams in, 7 teams in. I just don't see that. I think they get in 5. 4 would be very rude. I don't think they would do that. And I don't think they'd do 6. I think 5 is the number for the Big East. So you need, and we get 2 out of these 4, theoretically, between Seton Hall, St. John's, Villanova, and Providence. And Seton Hall and St. John's play each other in a quarterfinal. Providence starts it against Georgetown, who could ruin their season. And Nova, the way that game ended in Philly on Saturday was gut-wrenching. And they started horrendously, but they fought back in the game, and only to lose that way on that last-second shot. That's terrible. So I think that might fuel them to possibly get into Saturday night at MSG and be in that final to play for that trophy on that floor in the Garden, that famous, famous building. And you get Seton Hall versus St. John's in a quarterfinal. So I think that's an eliminator, and that's also winners in. I don't think Providence has to make the biggest run, because everybody loves the way Nova has the metrics, and Nova hasn't, they've had some losses, but they played a tough schedule, to be fair. And they weren't, and I understand, with tough schedule, they have to play all those Philly teams. Those Philly teams aren't that good. The Philly teams beat them. So they had to be somewhat good if Nova's going to be in the tournament, right? So I think you get 2 from that 4 to join UConn, Marquette, Creighton to make a Big East 5. So you got to get Seton Hall, Nova, St. John's, Providence, 2 of those 4, join UConn, Marquette, and Creighton. And Seton Hall and St. John's have an opportunity against each other to have that data point in their favor. All right, ACC, Carolina fighting for a 1, Duke and Clemson, the locks. Clemson had an outstanding out of conference, struggled a little bit in conference, but still a lock for me. I think Virginia could use a win. It would be weird to see Virginia not in an NCAA tournament with their recent success, obviously, under Tony Bennett. So I think the committee would lean to have them in, and I think they could use a win, but I believe they would be in. Now, I don't want to elevate them to lock, because what if they get embarrassed and they lose their data point in this tournament, a quad one win? So I will say they could use a win. And then in the needs a run here in the ACC, Pitt, Wake, and Syracuse. Syracuse have had some, they've had some nice wins. I just don't think they've had a consistent season. Wake can score, but then in their biggest games they didn't score and they didn't get the big win. I understand they beat Duke, but can you point to any other game in their season? Like, yes, that's the week that we've seen that week before. Like, I don't know. For me, no. I know Salas is a scorer. It's fine. And then Pitt has Pinson, who's a great scorer, but I think Pitt is in the same category here. They need a run. And Pitt and Wake play each other. It could be in a quarterfinal. So that could be your elimination game in this league. Because similar to the Big East, I don't see them taking 6 or 7 from the ACC. I could see them take 5. I think 4 would be rude. Same thing as Big East. So I think they take 5 from the ACC, 5 from the Big East. Pac-12. Arizona, who is not getting a ton of respect because obviously USC, you know, being the other night, like, that was bad. Like, that was bad. Like, that's a bad loss for sure. But I still really like that Arizona team. I think USC is a horrible matchup for a lot of teams, and they've just had a ton of injuries and haven't put it together this season. So I still love Arizona. Wazoo, to me, is a team that I think is out in the first round or first weekend. I don't see them being a second weekend team. Colorado, I think, is in the field, but I didn't want to put them as a lock, so give me them to use a win. And then I think Utah needs a run. I think Utah needs a run. Colorado versus Utah, possible quarterfinal. I don't really see this league getting a ton of bids. It was a down year. UCLA down, Oregon down, USC down, Arizona State down. Like, just not a great showing from the Pac-12 in their final college basketball conference season, where the college football season was pretty good for them. To be fair, they got a national finals in Washington. So Colorado could play Utah in a possible quarterfinal. That would be a big win for Colorado. It would be a gigantic win for Utah and possibly knock Colorado out and them in. So we'll see what happens there, but I still think Colorado is in the field. They will join Arizona and Wazoo out of this conference, and Utah would need to get a few wins. All right, locks everywhere else. I think there's 4 out of the Mountain West: San Diego State, Utah State, Nevada, Boise State. New Mexico probably could use a win or needs a run in there. Same Colorado State. Dayton at the A-10, I think, is a lock, even if they lose their tournament. St. Mary's, Gonzaga. Drake is in after beating Indiana State and Arch Madness. I think FAU and Colorado State could use a win. I think USF and New Mexico, they need runs to get into the dance. And Indiana State lost the Arch Madness final to Drake, Missouri Valley. And they're going to wait around a week, you know, to see if they get an at-large. And they're going to be rooting hard for teams. They need the top favorites to win the big leagues. They cannot afford a bid stealer in the Pac-12 or a Big Ten, an ACC even. You know, they really need the favorites to come through in those 6 leagues, because they can't afford a middle-of-the-pack, you know, 8 or 9 seed in one of these big conference tournaments, running the table and getting into and stealing their bid. So Indiana State, who has had a really good year and unfortunately lost to Drake, and that's a good league. And unfortunately, you know, they've been on the unfortunate side of a one bid league, which I don't know is necessarily fair to them. But Indiana State is going to be waiting around for a week. This has to be absolute torture. Oh my God, for the Sycamores. You got to be sick for the Sycamores, but like, you have to be. You have to be. It's brutal to lose that final and wait around a week to see if the committee's going to lead to put you in, because there are going to be teams that are playing games that have data points that you don't and can still make data points that you can't. So that's tough. That's really tough for Indiana State. So they're going to be waiting around. So that is the locks and bubble picture as we see it here on Tuesday of this conference tournament week. So we will talk more about the tournament and the building the field on Thursday. I think we'll probably do who are the 1 seeds Thursday, so we'll see about that. But let's just recap the college basketball weekend. Bama beats Arkansas in overtime. They needed it, a high-scoring game. Arkansas came out and shot it well and made Bama fight all the way to overtime and extra time, really, to get that win. How about Kansas State, they get a big win at home over the Iowa State Cyclones. And I know I put them in could, you know, needs a run, but that win really helped them. If they do get that run, to hopefully get into the tournament. Really good win by K-State. And Iowa State is not a team that can win the tournament. So, Texas beats Oklahoma in their final meeting in the Big 12 before both those schools go to the SEC. Creighton, Nova, Creighton a last-second bucket, gut-wrenching loss for Villanova on the home turf. And they had fought back in that game. They started the game horrifically. And some, you know, questionable officiating calls, I'm sure, as I was hearing it from the Creighton broadcast as I was listening to the series where I was going. But a brutal loss for the Villanova Wildcats. It's very unfortunate, but they get ready for the Big East tournament where they've won it before and when they needed to. So Creighton with a big win. In a game that if they lost, they would have been really, really pissed, I'm sure. South Carolina beat Mississippi State in overtime in Starkville. Big win for the Gamecocks. That's a tough loss for Mississippi State. They could have really used that in their favor for their tournament case. Kansas, Houston. Houston blows out Kansas really from the jump. Dickinson being banged up really hurt. And that's not a proper Kansas showing. And if those two teams do meet in a Big 12 championship, I would be very shocked if that same game played out. You got Kentucky, big win despite Connect's 40-piece in Knoxville to beat Tennessee. Dillingham is some player. Shepherd is some player. Like, that Kentucky team, if they could put it together at all defensively, consistently with stops and communication and technique and defending, like, off ball, like, if they could just do that, like, that team could be in Phoenix. Like, truly, that's a really good team. Marquette beats Xavier with Kolick banged up. You got Texas Tech outlasting Baylor. That's a really good win for Texas Tech on their home floor. It's tough to go to Lubbock. Everybody knows that. But Baylor had been putting it together a little bit with some wins. UNC beats Duke, sweeps them on Duke senior night at Cameron. Now, I'm of the, you know, volition that you can't throw stuff. You can talk. But if you lose the game, you got to shut up. You talked, you lost, you take it. That's how it is. That's how it's always been. Especially if you talk. So Carolina has every right in the world to go to the student section. Now, the students cannot throw stuff. That's unacceptable. Now, also, does Carolina have to go to the student section? No, they don't. But they can, and they have every right to. They just won. They can do what they want. That's how it works. So that's a bad job by the Cameron Crazies. That's a bad job by them, okay? UConn, I mean, this UConn team is so complete, guys. Like, it's going to be very, very difficult for me to find a bracket where I don't have UConn winning at the end. It's just, they're just such a complete team. They have the experience from last year. Now, I understand they lost a lot of the guys that, you know, were players on the team for sure, but they've brought in the right transfers. They developed the right players that didn't play last year. I mean, it's a special, special team. They handled Providence at the dunk convincingly. And Hurley's yelling again at Providence. He's out of control. He's yelling at kids. That kid was probably in the PCBC. Shout out to the PCBC. Purdue, Wisconsin. Purdue kept Wisconsin at arm's length. This was one pick. I'm still not over it. It's my own fault for counting it as a winner. But when you're given 9 and you're up like 16 with like seconds left, you think that's over. And so Wisconsin goes on an 8-0 run to ruin it. And the last one being a store steal when the kid's about to get it over half court and dribble it out and you stole the ball. Like, what a scumbag play. And that's a bad look for AJs everywhere. And I apologize on behalf of AJ Store, not only to the AJ community, but to the world and the gambling world on behalf of AJ Store. And I will tell him that I had to do that on behalf of him because that is unacceptable what he did. And if I had Wisconsin, I don't think I would be celebrating because that you don't win that game. That's a disgrace. So, all right, Michigan State, Indiana. Indiana sneaks one out. The Michigan State team, this I will never understand it. Walker, Hogard, Atkins, Hall, multiple bigs. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't think I'll ever get it that they've lost so many games this year. But give credit to Indiana. even though they're not going anywhere. And Illinois, a big win over Iowa. They handed it to them early on in that game and just kind of kept them, again, in arm's length and ended up winning it. All right, let's go to some conference tournament brackets. Start in the Big 12. You got a first round of a 13-12 in Oklahoma State UCF, and then you got Cincinnati 11 playing West Virginia at the bottom. Winner of that game plays Kansas. Winner of the Oklahoma State UCF game plays BYU. That starts the second round. So winner there plays BYU. Winner in the other game plays Kansas. And then you have the 7-10 Texas Kansas State, and you have the 8-9 TCU Oklahoma. Winner of that game takes on the number one Houston. BYU winner of that Oklahoma State UCF contest will take on Texas Tech. That's the top of the bracket, so the winners of those games will play each other for a chance to get in the final. At the bottom here, winner of Kansas, West Virginia, and Cincinnati will play Baylor, the three. Winner of Kansas State, Texas takes on Iowa State, and then those two winners play in the other semifinals. So you could get Houston BYU, you could get Houston Tech, you could get Texas Kansas, you could get Iowa State Kansas, you could get Texas Baylor, you get Iowa State Baylor. So a lot of great games possible in the Big 12. And I was watching, shout out Rico Bosco, shout out Healthy Debate, shout out Stanford Steve, was watching that before I had recorded this, their spot on Healthy Debate, and they made a really good point. When's the last time you saw Kansas that wasn't like a one or two in this league? They're a six. I mean, you used to just say, all right, Kansas wins the Big 12 regular season, Kansas wins the Big 12 tournament, and then, you know, maybe they get to a Final Four and we'll see what happens. But now this league is crazy. I mean, it used to be, all right, who finishes second? Who gets beat by Kansas and Kansas City and everybody laughs at them, all that stuff? No, it doesn't happen anymore. Kansas is the six. So could get some really good, really good matchups in that Big 12. SEC next. Vandy and Arkansas are playing the 13-12, and you got Georgia the 11 taking on Mizzou the 14. Winner of Vandy, Arkansas plays South Carolina, who's the 5 in the second round. You got Mississippi State, LSU, the 8-9 in the second round. Ole Miss, Texas A&M, the 7-10, and then that winner of that Georgia-Mizzou game plays Florida. The teams on the double buys, Tennessee the 1, Kentucky the 2, Bama the 3, Auburn the 4. Tennessee gets the winner of Mississippi State, LSU. Auburn gets the winner of the South Carolina game in the second round. Kentucky gets the winner of Ole Miss A&M, and Bama will get the winner of the Florida second round game. So you could have some really, really good matchups in that quarters. South Carolina and Auburn. Auburn could get a shot at a quad one win, which would be big for them. Mississippi State needs a couple wins. They have an opportunity to upset Tennessee in that quarterfinal if they do get past LSU. Kentucky can play some high-scoring games against Ole Miss, and then they'll probably have to grind it out against A&M. That'll be interesting to watch. And then you might get a track meet in Florida-Bama again if that game tips off at, like, midnight or whatever. Just gonna tip. No, I'm just kidding. It'll tip off late if they get that doubleheader, especially Kentucky games last long. We know that. So you could get some really, really good semis. And then you're going to get a really good final in that league, SEC. All right, next up, Big Ten. Rutgers and Maryland, the 13-12. And you got Michigan and Penn State, the 14-11 game. Winner of the Rutgers-Maryland game takes on Wisconsin in the second round as the 5. The 8-9 above them is Minnesota and Michigan State. Winner of that plays Purdue. Winner of the Wisconsin second-round game plays Northwestern at the top. Northwestern the 4, Purdue's the 1. At the bottom, you got the winner of Michigan, Penn State playing Indiana, and then the 7-10 is Iowa, Ohio State. That's a big game for the bubble. Winner of that game plays Illinois. Winner of the Indiana game plays Nebraska at the bottom, so you could get some really, really interesting quarters and semis. Northwestern, Wisconsin, Purdue, Michigan State, you know, Illinois, Iowa again, or Illinois, Ohio State. Big Ten is going to be a really good quarter semi final. All right, the Big East at the Garden. First round, Butler and Xavier in the 8-9. Providence, Georgetown, 7-10. DePaul, 6-11. Listen, Ed Cooley can ruin Providence's season. That's going to be enough for Georgetown to play that game and be in that game and have an opportunity to hang around and be in that game and win that game. So that's the first round. UConn will play the winner of Butler-Xavier. Seton Hall, St. John's, the 4-5 matchup already set. Creighton gets the winner of that Providence-Georgetown game, and Marquette gets the winner of Nova DePaul. So Nova can get to a semifinal here. They beat DePaul, and then they beat a Tyler Kolick-less Marquette, possibly. And then all of a sudden, they're in the semifinals, 40 minutes away from playing for a Big East final. You know, Big East title. So that's the path for Nova. It could certainly be done. It certainly could be done. It is one of the more advantageous paths, if you will, of a bubble team. So that's the story in the Big East. You got a really cool quarter in Seton Hall, St. John's. You could get a big matchup in Providence, Creighton, or Nova Marquette. And then in the semis, UConn against one of the either Jersey or New York schools in Seton Hall or St. John's. And then Creighton Marquette or Providence Nova. Imagine Providence Nova, the second game in the semifinals on Friday night. Oh my God. That would be insane. So that's the Big East. ACC. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech is the 12-13. The winner there would go to take on Wake in the second round. NC State, Louisville, 10-15. They take on Syracuse, the winner there. And you got BC and Miami, 11-14. The winner will play. Number six, Clemson. So Vatek in the 8-9 in the second round. Winner there will take on Carolina. Out of that Wake game, that winner will play Pittsburgh in the quarterfinal. Syracuse winner against NC State or Louisville. That team will take on the Duke Blue Devils. And then at the bottom, Clemson, Miami, or Boston College will play Virginia in that last quarterfinal. So you could get Duke and Carolina in the final again. You could get Wake maybe making a run. Pitt maybe making a run if they do beat Carolina at the top there into a final. Probably not. And then maybe you get a Duke Virginia, which always seemed to be entertaining, maybe not on the score, but with some drama for sure. And we got finally the Pac-12. 8-9 is USC Washington. Winner there will take on number one Arizona. The 5-12 Oregon State UCLA. Winner there takes on Oregon. 7-10 Stanford Cal. Winner will play Wazoo. And then Colorado waiting for the winner of Arizona State and Utah for their quarterfinal match. So you could see, and probably will see, USC-Arizona, who USC just beat Arizona. So that will be really exciting to watch Arizona get tested again if they can avenge that loss that they just had. So you have that going in one quarterfinal. Oregon-UCLA is a really weird game because neither of those teams are going in the tournament, so you got that. Wazoo looking to avoid an upset from either Stanford or Cal. And then at the bottom, you got Utah and Colorado, and I talked about it earlier, where one of those teams is really going to help their resume with a win in that quarterfinal and possibly get to a final with another win over Wazoo. So that's the way the brackets are looking like for the conference tournaments in college basketball. So more on those tournaments on Thursday's show when we look at the one seeds and some of the results already. All right, over to footy, weekend soccer recap, starting the EPL. Man U, Everton. Man U win it 2-0. A Bruno PK and a Rashford PK, both first half. Garnacho drew both of them with fouls. And United get the 3 points at Old Trafford. Wolves, Fulham. Wolves win it 2-1 with Neto getting hurt, which really sucks because they just keep getting injury. At Nori gave them a 1-0 lead and an own goal made it 2-0. Iwobi consolation with the last kick of the match to get Fulham off the clean sheet. Crystal Palace Luton finished 1-1. Crystal Palace goal came from Mateta, but then a Woodrow stoppage time equalizer with nearly the last action of the match. Split the points. Luton escape with one coming out of London. Bournemouth Sheffield United finished 2-2. Solanke missed the penalty, and it would look like that was going to be the difference in the match because hammer for Sheffield United and then Robinson made it 2-0. It wasn't until much later in the match when off a corner, Atora made it 2-1 and then Unal, the stoppage time equalizer, kind of second phase of a set piece to make it 2-2. Arsenal-Brentford, Arsenal went at 2-1. A Declan Rice header from a Ben White cross made it 1-0. And Wiesa closed down Ramsdale, who had to play in Raya's absence because Raya is loaned from Brentford and he can't play against your parent club because he didn't buy him. They loaned him. So Wiesa makes it 1-1 after he closed him down. And then 87th minute, Ball in from Ben White. It's Kai Havertz on the end of it. He scores the winner. Arsenal go top of the table. Villa-Tottenham in a big match for Tottenham to try to get back into the top four race. It was a big match for Villa to try to increase that gap and say, we're finishing fourth, end of story. No, it was Tottenham, 4-0. After a goalless first half, James Maddison scores. Brendan Johnson makes it 2. McGinn gets sent off, one of the more reckless, stupidest challenges you'll see from a captain. Like, I didn't get it at all. A horrific challenge. Sun made it 3-0, and Timo Werner made it 4. West Ham Burnley on Sunday finished 2-2. Fofana, a great goal, got Burnley started. An own goal made it 2-0 to start the second half, and then Paqueta got West Ham back in the match. When he's healthy, they're a different team. When he's fit in the lineup, they're a different team. And then still trailing late, Ings, stoppage time equalizer, split the points. Brighton Forest, Brighton win at 1-0, an own goal off near post corner routine. Forest complaining again. How about you just win some matches? You know, it's one thing for some teams to complain about referees, you know, when they're talking about titles and stuff like that. It's another thing if you're in the relegation battle. Like, you've had opportunities to win games. Win the games. It's different. Don't compare it. Don't compare it, Forest fans. Don't do that. Speaking of the title race, Liverpool, Man City at Anfield finished 1-1. A unbelievable near post corner routine from Kevin De Bruyne. John Stones there beats the zonal marking, beats Kelleher to the near post. And they had to show the ball down the line like a couple times because I was amazed how that De Bruyne ball did not go out of bounds. That was amazing. So an amazing set piece from De Bruyne. Made it 1-0. But then City didn't really play. And I understand the Doku chance late. And they also had a couple chances here and there. The Haaland one-on-one, which, you know, resulted in not a great shot where Kelleher saved it. But Liverpool really took it to Man City. And Endo played an amazing game in the middle of the park, frustrated De Bruyne enough so Pep subbed him off and had to bring in Kovacic to change the midfield. McAllister was amazing. Szoboszlai was pretty good. Nunez, even though he didn't score, was good. Lucho Diaz, I understand he had a bunch of chances in the second half, especially after McAllister equalized. He dribbled around everybody. He was amazing. Van Dijk was good. Kwanzaa was good. Joe Gomez was good. Robertson came on. He was good. Bradley was on to start. He was good. Kelleher made some big saves. That Liverpool team was not at 100%. City were missing one guy, Grealish, and he might even not start. Because if you look at their lineup, Ruben Diaz is probably their best defender, and he didn't play him, Pep. So, Man City were basically full strength. Now, I know Nunes broke his finger. He could have played if he wanted to. It's a broken finger. Please. You're playing soccer. What are we talking about here? Okay? So, second half starts. Ake leaves a ball short for Ederson. Nunes beats him to it. Takes him out. Ederson does. Penalty. McAllister levels it. Salah and Robertson come on around the hour mark. Liverpool have chance after chance after chance. Luis Diaz mainly. They can't get it past Ortega after Ederson was hurt when he took out Nunez. And I know Doku hits the post, but it came out. And now what I'm going to talk about at the end of the match is an absolute disgrace. And it's now the third time Liverpool have been denied an opportunity to win a game. The Tottenham disgrace with VAR earlier in the season. Martin Odegaard doing his best basketball impersonation, dribbling the ball with his left hand in the box. And now this. Doku not winning the ball, kicking McAllister in the chest in the penalty area. Not only was it not a foul or a penalty, they didn't even look at it. He didn't win the ball. Watch it back. McAllister's brave. He knows Doku doesn't know how to defend in the box. He knows he's going to get clobbered. You know what he did? He won his side a penalty in a title race. And it wasn't rewarded. That's crazy. And I'm not going to sit here and do the whole Oliver link to City because City owns, or the United Emirates owns City, and they flew Michael Oliver and some of the PGMOL refs out in the summer to do friendlies and stuff, matches for them, and now they ref their club in the Premier League. I don't really want to do that. I really try not to do that. But you can't look at the three incidents that have happened this year and tell me that everything's fair and balanced and kosher. You can't. You can't. You can't. The Luis Diaz goal in Tottenham is a disgrace. The decision not to give Odegaard a handball offense is a disgrace. And now, Alexis McAllister winning a header, winning the ball in the opposition box, winning a penalty after getting kicked in the chest. And they say, now it's just a corner play on. I mean, that's a disgrace. And you're going to say, AJ, you're just a Liverpool fan. I've been screaming about VAR and the referees for 6 years. So don't even start. Don't even start with me, okay? Game finishes 1-1. Liverpool should have had a chance to make it 2-1 from the spot. That's it. And now Arsenal are on top of the table because their goal difference, because they've been beaten Little Sisters of the Poor 7-0 week in and week out. And we'll see what happens when their fixture list gets a little tougher. And now with 10 games to go in the Prem, it's a real three-way title race. And we'll see if Arsenal's up for it because they weren't last year. Because I see everybody on Arsenal, top of the table, here we come. Look at your run-in. Look at the other team's run-ins. Look at City's history of run-ins. Look at Liverpool's history of run-ins. Liverpool have pushed City to the absolute brink a couple of times now. Final days. Arsenal didn't even think about that last year. So please, okay? Don't go crowning yourself yet. A lot of games to go. So that one finished 1-1. It was great for the neutral. It absolutely took years off my life as a Liverpool fan. Chelsea, Newcastle on Monday. Chelsea went a 3-2. Jackson, the opener after Cole Palmer on target shot was redirected by him. It was like a hockey goal. It was a great goal by Jackson. Isak made it 1-1. And then a Cole Palmer great goal made it 2-1 Chelsea. And then Mudryk dribbled everybody after he picked the ball up in the middle of the park there. Made it 3-1. Murphy, a great strike, made it 3-2, but it only ends up being consolation because Newcastle could not get an equalizer. Midweek matchup, you got Bournemouth-Luton Town. Bournemouth trying to play better, getting healthier, and Luton Town just do not give up, and I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to stay up this year, but at least they're not giving up. That's really admirable. All right, La Liga, Barcelona-Mallorca. Barcelona went at 1-0. Yamal, the goal scorer. Cadiz beat Atletico 2-0. Girona back in the win column. They beat Osasuna 2-0, and then Real Madrid beat Celta Vigo 4-0. Vinicius, the goal scorer there. Serie A, Inter win 1-0. Pulisic goal for AC Milan. Lead them past Empoli 1-0, and then Juventus Atalanta draw 2-2. Bundesliga action, Rebel Leipzig 2-0 over Darmstadt. Bayern beat Mainz 8-0. Kane hat-trick, Koretzka brace, Muller, Musiala, Gnabry, the other goal scorers. Dortmund beat Bremen 2-1. It was a Malen and a Sancho goal. Sabitzer ends up getting sent off, so that was bad. You don't want that to happen. Leverkusen remain unbeaten. They beat Wolfsburg 2-0. Outstanding season from them. PSG and Stade Rennes draw 2-2. All right, turn ahead to the Champions League. Round of 16, second legs. Barcelona and Napoli in Barcelona as the Camp Nou gets renovated. Barcelona injury report. Balde, Gavi, Pedri out. De Jong and Alonso doubtful, so they'll have to piece it together in that midfield. And no real injuries for Napoli, who this is all they have to play for to possibly get to a European quarterfinal, because after last year winning the league, the Scudetto is an unbelievable season. This year has not been one for Napoli. Three different managers, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So no injuries for them. They'll try to go to Barcelona, make it tough, and somehow, you know, possibly get it to pens, because if they keep it 1-1, the road goals don't matter anymore. So it's just 1-1. Arsenal-Porto. Porto up 1-0 from that late match winner in Portugal in the first leg. Timber out, even though he's training. Tomiyasu also training, but he should be doubtful, as is Partey, as is Martinelli. Marcano and Zaidu out for Porto. So Porto will try to do a job, and I'm sure they know they have to score at least one goal, so I don't think they'll shut it down from, you know, the opening kick, but it is difficult. It is difficult to go to the Emirates and get a result, especially since Arteta's taken over. He's been really good. They've turned it into a really good fortress for them. So it'll be difficult, but Porto do have a lead. They have something to hold on to. It's not like they're going there honors even. They have an advantage. So if they hold on to the advantage, they go through. Simple as that. They cannot concede. Atletico Inter, Inter up 1-0. Atletico, Lemar, and Azpilicueta are out. Griezmann and Jimenez are doubtful. Inter injury news. Arnautovic and Augusto are out. It was a cagey first leg. I'm sure it'll be a cagey second leg at the Wanda. Everybody will be turned up. Simeone will have that place turned up to freaking 11. Oh, my God. That place will be out of control. It'll be a zoo. Dortmund PSV, the final round of 16 match. Tied at 1 out of the first leg. Schlotterbeck suspended for Dortmund. Haller is out. Lang out for PSV, and Sarabaria is doubtful in that one. And you expect Dortmund at home, Walsadian, to figure it out and win that game. All right, NFL headlines, franchise tags. Madubuike got tagged for Baltimore, but then they make a deal 4-98 to avoid it. Burns was tagged by the Panthers, but then they end up trading him to the Giants. Chicago tagged Johnson, the corner. They signed him for 4-76 to avoid it. Bengals tag T. Higgins. He requests a trade. Colts tag Michael Pittman. He comes to a deal with them. 3-70 to avoid it. Jacksonville tag the pass rusher Josh Allen. KC tags Jarr Sneed, the corner. Tampa, their star safety Winfield tag. Chris Jones back to the Chiefs. 5-95. Pretty good deal for all parties. I think the Chiefs are going to pay him. And they're going for 3. Mahomes said it. So that's a good deal. Bake back to Tampa, 3-100. So is Mike Evans, 2-41. So people worried about Mike Evans had played his last snap for Buck. Nope, he's back, which is good. I think he should be a career Buck, one of those guys that just deserves to be. He's just an outstanding football player. And I'm really happy for Bake to get a big deal with the Bucks. He deserves to be a starter. Dickerson back to Philly, 4-84. More on Philly in a second. New England, Hunter Henry comes back, 3-27. They signed Gibson, the running back, and Brissett, the quarterback, former Patriot, back in New England. Schultz back to Houston, 3-36. And then Leonard Williams signed a 3-year deal with Seattle. I don't see the money come out before I start recording. Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, 4-180. And I think Atlanta fans, you have a competent NFL quarterback. Now, do you have an elite guy? Do you have a top-level guy? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't put him as a top-10 guy. Top 15, maybe we're talking top 20, sure, probably. I haven't done it. I haven't looked at it. I've barely been thinking about the NFL, guys. I'm locked in on college basketball and soccer. I'm sorry. But it's a good signing for Atlanta. They needed a veteran guy with all those youthful players. They didn't need another rookie quarterback with all those young guys. Like, I think it's a smart play. They got weapons. See what happens. Russ is going to the Steelers, and you figure he wins that job over Kenny, even though he was abysmal in Denver. I think it's a different roster than it is in Denver than it is for Pittsburgh. So it's an interesting matchup. We'll see. Mashup, I should say. So Russ to the Steelers. Jags trade for Mac Jones to back up Lawrence. Then they sign Morse, the former center from Buffalo. They get Gabe Davis coming in from Buffalo, 3-50. Ronald Darby and then Savage they add to their secondary. Didn't see the numbers for those deals. Jerry Jeudy traded to Cleveland. And the Lions traded for Carlton Davis, the corner from the Bucks. Raiders news, they get Christian Wilkins, a former Dolphin, 4-110, and that's going to help out Max Crosby immensely because that might have just won Max Crosby Defensive Player of the Year because now the line has to account for Christian Wilkins. They cannot just say double Max Crosby and chip him. Like, no, you have to block other people now. They also bring in Minshew to compete with Aiden O'Connell on a 2-year deal for the starter job. All right, running back news, Tony Pollard, 3-24. He leaves the Cowboys. He goes to the Titans. Philly signed Saquon Barkley, the former Giant, 3-37. That's a big deal. That's a lot of money. I don't think he would have got that anywhere else, but hey, maybe Philly really wanted him, and they get Huff from the Jets, 3-51. That's a good deal. Huff is a home run guy for the Jets, undrafted guy. I think the Jets fans really wanted him to come back, and unfortunately, he's going to the Eagles. More running back news. Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay, 4-48, and they brought in McKinley, the safety from the Giants, 4-68. Swift will be the new Bears running back out of Philly now. He is in Chicago back in the NFC North after being with Detroit for a little bit. 3-24. Gus Edwards is going to the Chargers. Minnesota splashed on defense. Greenard, 4-76. Van Ginkle, 2-20. Cashman, 3-25. So they're trying to get better at edge and linebacker. More Bears. Bard, the safety, 2-15. You got Davenport going to the Lions, 1-10, the pass rusher on the defensive line there. Floyd going from the Rams to the Niners, 2-20. Hunt, the former Dolphin guard, to Carolina, 5-100 to protect Bryce Young. And then Washington made a couple moves. Eckler coming in, 2-11, short deal, short money. Armstrong from the Cowboys, and they got Biadasz as well from the Cowboys, and Rams, Jackson going there, the guard, 3 for 51. All right, golf. Scotty Scheffler runs away at the Arnold Palmer with a Sunday 66, I believe. Wins by 5. If Scotty putts like he did at Bay Hill, he's going to win a hell of a lot more majors, because tee to green, there's not a better player right now on the face of the earth, and it's really been his putter that's been holding him back, you know, missing some short par putts, missing some birdie opportunities that he should have converted. His putter has left him vulnerable to the rest of the field, and if he can make more consistent putts, oh my, look out, because this guy could really, really play. Players' Championship next. No Tiger Woods, unfortunately. So hopefully he can get right and get better for Augusta in, what, a month's time, I believe. So that's the story. We'll talk about the players on Thursday. We got Champions League round of 16 games to talk about Thursday as well, as that gets set for the quarterfinal in the next stage. And, of course, folks, college basketball. So more of that on Thursday show. Enjoy conference tournament week. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Until then, peace.
Sometimes Other Sports Show. That's the name of it? Guys, check out his podcast. That sounds like my kind of podcast. Football, 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 and Sometimes Other Sports Show. Sounds like me.